Our text for tonight's lesson is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1. And you say, well, preacher, we were there this morning. I want to go back to that text. Begin our reading in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and in verse 14. 2 Corinthians 6 and in verse 14. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves for all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. The Corinthians were admonished earlier in the text to cleanse themselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Now they're admonished to perfect themselves in holiness, in the fear of God. If this is needed for the Corinthians, it is likely that most Christians need it today as the same. That is to perfect holiness. We noted this morning that all men need to be cleansed, whether it be the alien sinner or the child of God. Needs to be cleansed from sin, defilement, moral corruption, moral pollution in his life. And then having been cleansed, he needs to go on and be active in holiness. In order to carry out this command, we need to know what perfecting holiness is and how it is to be achieved. It is to be achieved, of course, in connection with the fear of God. Perfecting holiness in connection with the fear of God. But let's define this perfecting holiness first. Perfecting carries with it the ideal of perfect, complete. That is, carrying something through to the end, finishing something, thus coming to actualize something or to realize something, having brought it to completion. So to perfect holiness is to bring holiness to its end, to its completed state, to realize holiness in one's life. Holiness is a word that's often misapplied and misunderstood by many, but it is simply a state of being holy. That's what holiness is. A state of being set apart, consecrated and devoted to the service of God, being in a state of moral purity. That's what holiness is. But many people see holiness as parallel with sinlessness. That is, having no sin in one's life. But holiness is not for man, sinlessness. Of course, holiness for God is perfect. He is perfectly holy, as we're called upon to be holy. But man will not be in that perfect or complete state of holiness. Thus, our command tonight, perfecting holiness, bringing it to its end, bringing it to its ultimate conclusion, actualizing it in our life, realizing it in our life. So holiness is not the idea and is not parallel with sinlessness. Actually, the word holy and holiness are parallel with the words sanctify and sanctification. Every time in the New Testament where the words sanctify, sanctified, and sanctification occur, they all come from the original root word from which we get the word holy and holiness. So to speak of sanctification is to speak of holiness. To speak of holiness is to speak of sanctification. The word holy that precedes the word spirit for Holy Spirit is the root from which all of these words come. What does it mean to be holy? Well, it means to be set apart and separated from sin, consecrated, devoted to God. All of those ideas are in the ideal of being holy. And when we're holy, we need to perfect holiness or become more holier, is the idea. Thus, whatever is said about sanctification, whatever is said about being sanctified, the same thing would be said about being made holy. When one is sanctified, he's made holy. When one is made holy, he's sanctified or set apart. And thus he attains or wants to achieve in his life sanctification or holiness. But again, holiness or sanctification is not the same as being without sin. It's just not the same. It's not the same as being sinless in the perfect sense of the word. In 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 2, we note the church at Corinth. Those who made up the church were said to be sanctified. To the church of God, which is Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus. They were sanctified in Christ Jesus. They've been set apart and consecrated to service God. They've been made holy in Christ Jesus. But these people, though being sanctified, though being made holy in their relationship with Christ Jesus, was far from being sinless. In 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10, Paul says, "Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus, that you all speak the same thing and there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." So there was division among the saints, those who had been sanctified in Corinth. They weren't sinless. As a matter of fact, there was a great deal of sin among the members of the church in Corinth that Paul dealt with in his epistles to them. In 1 Corinthians 3 and in verse 1, he said, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food. For until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you're still not able. For you are still carnal, for where there are envy and strife and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? Indeed they are." Though they had been sanctified, though they had been made holy, they were not sinless. Again, a text we considered this morning, 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 11. "And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified." So they had been sanctified, they had been made holy in Christ Jesus. But they were far from being sinless. Thus they needed to perfect holiness. So they had been made holy, but they need to become holier. They need to perfect, carry through, bring to its end and its ultimate conclusion, holiness in their life. Both man and deity have a part in man being made holy. Both man and deity. That is the Godhead, the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. All of these are involved in making man holy. In Jude 1, "Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called sanctified by God the Father." So God sanctifies us. He sets us apart. He makes us holy. How does God do that? Well, it is through the Word that He sanctifies. John 17, in verse 17, Jesus praying for the apostles said, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." So God sanctifies. He sets one apart and He makes one pure or holy. But He does that through the word. So God has a part in making man holy. We also see in 2 Thessalonians 2 and in verse 13 that the Spirit has a part in making man holy. "But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation," note this, "through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth." So the Spirit sanctifies, the Spirit sets apart and makes one holy. But He does that through the truth, through the Word. Romans 15 and in verse 16, "That I might be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering of the Gentiles might be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit." So the Holy Spirit sanctifies. God sanctifies, the Holy Spirit sanctifies. God sanctifies, but He sanctifies by or through the Word. The Holy Spirit sanctifies, but He sanctifies by or through the Word. So deity and man both have a part in man being made holy. We said deity, that includes Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ as well. Hebrews 13 and verse 12, therefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. So God sanctifies, he sanctifies through the Word. The Holy Spirit sanctifies, he sanctifies through the Word. But Jesus Christ sanctifies by his blood. Sets us apart, makes us holy. But man has a part in his sanctification. Man has a part in being made holy. Faith, repentance, confession, and baptism are conditions that man must meet in order to be sanctified, set apart, or made holy. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, Jesus said. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. In Acts 2 and in verse 38, Peter told those on the day of Pentecost, let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So when one believes the gospel and responds in obedience to the gospel in baptism, receives the forgiveness of sins, he is thus said to be sanctified or set apart, made holy. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, and that one body we know is the church. In Ephesians 5 and in verse 25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. So the church, made up of those who have believed the gospel, responded in obedience in baptism, received the forgiveness of their sins, have been baptized into Christ, into one body, and that body is the church, but that church is said to be sanctified or set apart or made holy because they've been cleansed and purified by the washing of the water by the word. Again, in 1 Corinthians 1 and in verse 2, the Corinthians were said to be sanctified. Why? Because they had been washed. They had been sanctified. They had been justified. They had been washed from their sins in baptism, 1 Corinthians 6 and in verse 11. And having been washed from their sins in baptism, they were sanctified or set apart, made holy in the sight of God. Not only is it possible for one to be holy then, how is he made holy? He's made holy by God through his word. He's made holy by the Holy Spirit through the Spirit-inspired word. He's made holy by the blood of Jesus Christ. That is, he's sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ. He's sanctified by his obedience to the word. So man is made holy or sanctified in that sense. But it's not enough for man to be made holy or sanctified in that sense. He must then perfect holiness. He must become more holy. Well, how is holiness perfected? That's our big question. If we're to perfect holiness in our life, how do we do that? Well, let me ask you the question. How do we become holy to begin with? We became holy to begin with. We became sanctified or holy to begin with through obedience to the Word. So since the Word of God brings about holiness or sanctification, it's only reasonable to conclude that following that word more perfectly will help one to perfect holiness. Does that not make sense? We are made holy through our obedience to the word, and thus if we continue to render obedience to the word that originally made us holy or sanctified, we'll become more holy. We'll become to enjoy the state of holiness. Now let me ask, if the Corinthians would cleanse themselves of the filthiness of the flesh and body in our text in 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 1, if they would cleanse themselves, if they would obey that command of God through the Apostle Paul, did you suppose doing that would make them become holier? You suppose doing that would help them to realize the state of holiness? Do you suppose doing that would help them perfect their holiness? Absolutely, that's what Paul was calling upon them to do. Cleanse yourselves from all defilement of the flesh and spirit. Perfecting holiness. So if they would cleanse them, that is, they being Christians, if they would cleanse themselves by the blood of Jesus Christ through confession of their sins, repentance of their sins, and praying to God that He would forgive them of those sins, separating themselves from the pollutions and contaminations involved in idolatrous practices in the city of Corinth, it would go a long way in perfecting holiness in their life. So we see that that which originally made them holy, that which originally sanctified them, that is their obedience to the Word, if they'll just continue to render obedience to the Word as they have before, they will perfect holiness. Because Christians are admonished just to do that. Hebrews 12 and verse 14. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. That's what we're to pursue. To pursue means to go after it with the intention of gaining it, attaining it. In 1 Timothy 2 and in verse 15, Paul said, "Nevertheless, ye will be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith, love, and holiness with self-control." So they're to continue, remain, that is, they're to live in holiness, that is, a state of holiness. Even chastisement, that is, instruction and discipline itself, works to the end of developing holiness in our lives. Hebrews 12 and verse 10. "For they indeed for a few days chastise us," but they under consideration, of course, as human fathers. "For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them. But He," that is the Father of our spirits, God, "but He for our profit, that we may be partakers of His holiness. Thus we become holy as He is holy." So over and over again, the admonition in the Scripture is to perfect holiness. We're admonished again and again to seek after it, pursue it with the intention of gaining it in our life. Perfecting holiness should be one of our chief concerns as Christians. Why? Well, first and foremost, it's commanded. The Corinthians were commanded to cleanse themselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. But they're also commanded in this text to perfect holiness in their life. So if you believe it is right and proper to obey the commands of God, you're a child of God, certainly you believe that, then you'll want to obey the command to perfect holiness, because God calls upon us to do it. Simply put, it ought to be our chief concern because it is a commandment of God. Romans 6 and in verse 19, Paul said, "I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness," some versions say for sanctification. Holiness and sanctification are the same, synonymous terms. "Now present your members as slaves of righteousness for," or in order to, "holiness." That is, in order to become more holy, in order to become more like God, for as God is holy, we are to be holy. So in our reading in 1 Peter 1 and verse 13 and following, "Gird up the loins of your man and be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children," note that, you were initially obedient to the gospel, "not conforming yourselves to the former lust as in your ignorance, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all of your conduct, because it's written, 'Be holy for I am holy.'" Perfect holiness. Be holy, for God is holy. We ought to take upon ourselves the character of our Father who is in heaven. We ought to become holy as He is holy. Of course, we're made holy initially. We're sanctified and made holy by our obedience to the Word. But again, holiness is to be perfected. It's to be carried out to its ultimate end or its ultimate conclusion. Christians are often associated with that which is holy in the Scripture. For example, in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 9, "God has saved us and called us with a holy calling." A holy calling? There's that word holy. The word holiness, the word sanctified, sanctify, sanctification, holiness, they all come from this same root word, holy. What does it mean to be holy? It means to be set apart, consecrated, and devoted to service God. It means to be godly. It means to be pious. It means to be devout. It means to live a virtuous and upright life in the sight of God, free from moral pollution and corruption. That's what it means to be holy. And so God has saved us and called us with a holy calling. A holy calling? Well, a calling that indeed comes from a holy God, but a calling or invitation to become holy as well. In 1 Corinthians 3 and in verse 17, if anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. You are holy. You have been sanctified, set apart, made pure in the sight of God. We ought to remain that way, and we ought to seek to achieve the state of holiness. In Ephesians 2 and in verse 21, in whom the whole building being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. Why is the church referred to as a holy temple? Because it's made up of stones that are holy. We're stones in the temple of God. The temple of God, the church, consists of those who are holy, those who are sanctified, those who are perfecting holiness, those who are achieving to be holy as God is holy. 1 Peter 2 and in verse 5, you also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, even a holy priesthood. A holy priesthood, a priesthood that is separate or separated and set apart from others. A priesthood that is clean and pure and holy in the sight of God. It's consecrated and devoted to God. A priesthood that offers service up to God. That's what holy is. A holy priesthood. In 1 Peter 2 and in verse 9, you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, even a holy nation. A nation that has been set apart from all other nations, from all other people. A nation that is devoted and consecrated to the service of God. A nation that is pure, upright, and virtuous in the sight of God. So with all of these holy attachments, we ought to be holy. Because we're admonished over and over again to be holy, again as God is holy. Perfecting holiness is necessary if we're going to see God. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Perfecting holiness. It's to be done in the fear of God, in connection with the fear of God. The word translated fear here is phobos. It's a word that is used in the Scripture for terror and fright, but it's not used this way in this passage as well as many other places in the Scripture, Old Testament and New Testament as well. Sometimes it has reference to reverence, respect, and honor to God. And that's the way it's used in this passage. We're to perfect holiness in the fear of God. That is in a connection with our reverence and respect for God. We have great honor, reverence, and respect for God when we perfect holiness in our life. Because we want to become like God, holy as He is holy. We have great honor, respect, and reverence for God when we carry out the will of God in our life, when we seek to perfect holiness in our life. The wise man said in Proverbs 1 and verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fear of the Lord, that is reverence for the Lord, is the beginning of knowledge. If you want to have reverence, respect, and honor for God, that's the beginning of knowledge. He'll seek to obtain the knowledge of God's will for his life. Proverbs 9 and in verse 10, the wise man said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So reverence for the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You have reverence, respect, and honor for God, you will attain unto the wisdom of God through His Word, through an understanding and knowledge of His will. Proverbs 14 and verse 27. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to turn one away from the snares of death. The fear of the Lord is the fountain of life. The fountain of life. A fountain that brings life. The fear of the Lord. That is, reverence, respect, and honor for God brings you to the fountain of life. Causes you to obtain life from God. Everlasting life. And what did the wise man say in Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13? When he made the conclusion of man's labors and all that man desires and seeks while upon this earth, fear God and keep His commandments, because that is the whole of man, or the whole duty of man. Fear God. Have reverence, respect, and honor for God. So we're to perfect holiness in the fear of God. That's what we're to do, in connection with our reverence, honor, and respect for God, because we want to be like God. So I ask, have you become holy by or through obedience to the Word? Have you been set apart, consecrated, devoted to the service of God, separating yourselves from sin, moral corruption, moral defilement, the pollutions and contaminations of this world, abstaining from that which will defile you and make you unclean, impure in the sight of God? If you've been made holy through your obedience to the Word, because you've rendered obedience in baptism, washed your sins away, thus you purified yourself, made yourself holy. That's what Paul was calling upon the Christians to do. Cleanse yourselves from all defilements of the flesh and spirit. That is, cleanse yourselves or purify yourselves and make yourselves holy. And then go on and perfect holiness. So have you become holy by or through obedience to the Word? If not, why not obey the gospel this very hour? Don't put it off. Because without holiness, you'll not see the Lord. So you're going to have to become holy through obedience to the Word. When you become holy through obedience to the Word, you're sanctified, you're set apart, consecrated to the service of God. You're a Christian. You're a child of God through obedience to the will of God. Now, as a Christian and as a child of God, are you perfecting holiness in the fear of God? If not, why not? Because if you're not perfecting holiness in the fear of God, you're in violation of one of the commands of God. That means you're in sin. We all should seek to perfect holiness. Abstain from the things of life that will cause us to be morally impure in the sight of God. When we abstain from those things that will cause us to be morally impure, as the Corinthians were told to cleanse themselves from all filthiness of flesh, if they would abstain from those things associated with idolatry and keep from polluting themselves morally and spiritually, they would be perfecting holiness. And that's what we're going to have to do on a daily basis. Abstain from that which will make us impure. Abstain from that which will keep us from being holy. Abstain from that which will keep us from being sanctified. Remember, the Corinthians had a problem with that. Such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified and justified. But what were they wanting to do? They were wanting to go back to those things that had once made them impure, that had once made them unholy. And we don't need to do that. We need to perfect holiness. Because without holiness, we will not see God. The lesson is yours. I hope it proved to be of some profit to you in the days ahead. If you're here and not a Christian, our desire is that you would become one. Don't put it off. Through faith, repentance, confession, and baptism, you become one. You become holy in the sight of God. Not with your own effort, but with God's effort. And the blood of Jesus Christ, remember, it sanctifies. It will sanctify you and make you holy in baptism, through your obedience to the will. And then we try to attain and realize holiness on a daily basis as children of God. If you're subject to the invitation in any way, please come as we sing the song that has been selected.